Holy Spirit, work now through your word and teach us what you have for us today and how you're continually forming us into the image of our crucified and risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Quite simply, the gospel is that good. We often don't believe it's that good or that simple. It is. In Christ, new creation. That's it. If we only had that verse of the Bible, I think that'd be enough. If we didn't have anything else, it'd be enough. So, repeat after me. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. Another time, all together. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. Now, if you kept saying that to yourself every day, you know, Martin Luther talks about living faith. He says, wake up every morning, make the sign of the cross, say the Lord's Prayer, remind yourself that you are a baptized child of God. What if you did all that and said to yourself, I am in Christ, I am a new creation? How might that change the way you think throughout the day? Would it? Say it again. I am in Christ, I am a new creation. How might that change even the way you did the most mundane things? How might that change the way you make lunch? How might that change the way you do the laundry? Or how might that change the way you face Monday morning? Or how might it change the way you deal with that difficult relative or difficult coworker? I am in Christ. I am a new creation. And as Paul tells us in this chapter, you're in Christ not because of anything you did. I'm not in Christ because I was good enough for God, or I prayed enough, or I studied the scriptures enough, or I've given enough, or I've done enough, or even been sorry enough. None of that. You are in Christ because He died for you and claimed you. That was His work, that was His gift that He paid for at the expense of His life, and He gives it to you. Because Jesus is in the business of making dead things live and making all things new. And there's a number of new things that Jesus gives to you in this that we'll see in this reading that we're going to look at. So it's not going to go right in order. They're kind of all just kind of thrown out like a Jackson Pollock painting, just paint thrown on a canvas. That's kind of how they appear in the reading. So we're going to look at them. But the first thing we've already talked about that Jesus gives you is a new heart. That's what it means. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. Jesus gives you a new heart. It says the old is past, the new has come. It's that dramatic, and the promise is that good. God is that good. Jesus takes your complete brokenness and wants to make you whole. Jesus takes your ugliness, your rotting heart, my rotting heart, and He says, I'll take that, and He gives you His. That's what it means, new creation. The ultimate of heart transplants. Jesus takes yours, and He gives you His. So the first thing Jesus gives you is a new heart. Second thing are new eyes. So a new heart. Second thing are new eyes. So verse 16 and 17, so expand that verse just a little bit. He says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's a little cryptic. We'll talk about that. Even though we once regarded Christ that way, no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So saying from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. What he's trying to say, or what we might say, is that Jesus is giving you new eyes. New eyes to see yourself. So in addition to taking away your heart and giving you His, He's giving you new eyes too. What that means is you are not your darkest sin. You can see yourself differently in Jesus. Now, it means that you are not your deepest secret that you've never told anyone, or you are not your biggest failure or words that you have let define your past at times and that you've maybe rehearsed over and over again and gave them your identity, words like overweight or unemployed or depressed or poor or addicted or divorced, or whatever your word is, those words don't describe what God sees when God looks at you. Remember, I am in Christ. I am a new creation. That's how God sees you. So Jesus gives you new eyes to look in the mirror and to see yourself, but Jesus also gives you these new eyes to look at the person next to you and how you look at them. C.S. Lewis, famous 20th century Christian writer, says it this way. He's talking about, we regard no one according to the flesh, kind of what that means. In his sermon called The Weight of Glory, he says, there are no ordinary people. He goes on, you have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, now these things are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals with whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. And then he says, next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. And yet, if I think about myself, how often am I dismissive of people around me? Or how often are you dismissive of people around you and you put them in a box and treat them as nothing special? Treat people around you as normal, as regular, as mundane. That's not so in Jesus. In Jesus, you're sitting next to a new creation for whom Jesus Christ died and rose. Treat them accordingly. So Jesus is giving you new eyes to, yes, look at the mirror and see yourself differently, but also to look at people around you and see them differently. They are not simply the person who let you down. They are not simply the person that seems to hold a grudge, or the person that seems overly judgmental, or the person that seems to be hard to get along with. Just like you, they are a new creation. So Jesus gives you a new heart, and he gives you new eyes. Now, thirdly, he gives you new hands. So heart, eyes, and hands. So this is verses 18 and 20. 18 through 20, it says, all this is from God, of course, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and then entrusted us this ministry. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I think that means Jesus is giving you new hands. That means to work, new hands to work with, new calling in the world. It's what we do as Christians, and the words he uses, he gave us the ministry or message of reconciliation. That means this is the work that Christians are to be about. You see, the greatest news in the world isn't that the stock market rose. The greatest news isn't that, you know, your bank account got better. The greatest news isn't that it's getting warmer or whatever it is. No, it's the greatest news is that you are in Christ and therefore you are a new creation. Jesus died to reconcile you, and now Jesus gives you new hands to work that out in your life and in the world. So Jesus gives you new hands to work for that, this ministry of reconciliation. What that means is, in your friendships, work to be the one that brings peace and works through things. Or in family conflict, work to be the one that brings the peace of Jesus. Or in your work or in your communities, work for peace among groups of people that don't normally get along. And this tells me why Christians need to be involved in public service in many ways, in public education, but also city council, state government, even national politics, because Christians are supposed to be the ones working for peace and reconciliation. 15 years ago, in 2001, Seiko Sakamoto, a Japanese plasterer, he was working in a Tokyo subway station, he fell onto the path of the oncoming train. Another man, Lee Soo-hyun, a Korean student who was in Japan studying language, leapt down on the tracks to try to save him. Unfortunately, they both were not able to get out of the way, and they both were struck by the train, and they were both killed. Now, on the surface, this seems like a sad story that happens from time to time. But there's more. This is a Korean giving his life to help a Japanese. Dig deeper and scratch into the history of these two peoples and these two countries, you'll find that today there are still very, very hard feelings between Japanese and Koreans, because of many horrific ways that Japanese enslaved and mistreated Koreans during World War II. And many Koreans still maintain long-held hurt and hard feelings, and on the other side, many Japanese are often too proud to admit wrongdoing and apologize. And yet, this one single selfless act by a young Korean student on behalf of the Japanese laborer caused many people throughout Japan to reconsider and to rethink long-held prejudices they had, and including all the way up to the Prime Minister of Japan at that time. He openly expressed sorrow for what they had previously held in their heart about Koreans, and they began to talk about reconciliation. I'd call that new hands to work in the world. You see, reconciliation rarely occurs without sacrifice. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. God reconciled you to God at his own expense, and now invites you to do that to others in the world. And so Jesus gives you, yes, new heart, new eyes, new hands, but it's all because of this. Why? Because I am in Christ. I am a new creation. Say it again with me. I am in Christ. I. Now say it like you mean it. I am in Christ, and I am a new creation. Amen.